following message is brought to you by City Place Church and Pastors Damon and Taisha Moore in Orlando, Florida. We hope this message inspires you to build new dreams, ignite your faith, and be established as the leader God is calling you to be. For more information, visit us online at cityplacechurch.com.
Here we go. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. And if you didn't bring your Bible, that's okay. We have it on the screen. But I do want to encourage you to take some notes. Today, I am creating the foundation for where we're going to end up. Now, I preach this, I want you to see this through two lenses, okay? Through two lenses. The first lens, I want you to see this as it applies to God in you. I want you to see this as this, how this applies to the God in you, but I want you to realize that I'm also laying a foundation for what we're going to be talking about for a corporate group of people, because it would do no good if you come every single week but you don't know the heart of City Place Church and the heart of my wife and I and the call of God that God's put on this church. So instead of me just preaching vision and just say, we're going to do this, we're going to do this, because it's not about what we do, it's the why we do it. Are you with me?
Yeah.
It's the heart. The results is the things that we might want to do, but it's the heart. And so I'm going to just take the next few weeks. And so this is going to relate. There's a little bit of ringing back. This is going to take just the next few weeks. We're going to lay the foundation, but I want you to see it through two lenses. One, God, this is going to apply to me. That's great. And then two, how it applies to the church. All right, so Ephesians chapter 1 says this in verse 15 through 23. It says, for this reason, this is Paul writing to the people in Ephesus. He says, for this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. Let me pause right here. If you ever want to see the heart of a pastor and the vantage point that a pastor, when they cover a church and when they speak life into church, Paul is showing it here. He says, the thing that I am thinking about the most is what God can do for you. He says, I don't stop thanking God for you. It's the same way with my wife and I. We look forward to Sundays because we get to hang out with you. And Paul says, every single day when I wake up throughout my day, I'm thinking about you. I want you to know that I'm thankful for you. But then he says, my prayer and my desire is that you know him better. And that you get the wisdom and the understanding of who this man really is. See, Paul, as Paul is writing this, Paul was not the person that grew up just following Jesus. He grew up in church. He grew up in religion. He grew up in what they shouldn't do and what they should be against. But Paul had an encounter with God that no one could take away. So when Paul went all in on God, he went all in on God. He left everything aside. God changed his name from Saul to Paul. And so when Paul is talking about life being changed and the prayers that he's prayed, you're talking about a man who didn't want anything to do with the risen Savior Jesus. Now his heart is so that everyone can know who Jesus really is. Right there is the heart of a pastor. So if my wife and I are like, hey, you want to grab coffee? We don't have an agenda to get you to be a member of the church. We have an agenda because we want to know what's stirring on the inside of you. So that we can be like, oh, they want to own a business. Let's pray. Come on. God can do it. Man, if you could get an understanding that God's for you and that desire that's in you, man, he put it there. Woo! You could change the world. So just know that if you're here for the very first time, I can honestly tell you, and this is, I know this might seem strange. This is not like The Bachelor where you're like coming along and you're like, this person, this person, this person, this person. No, no, no. This is the heart of God. God's already picked you. God's already picked you. And the heart of the pastors and leaders in the church is like, what can God do for you? Man, if you can get that, woo, you're going to love that man. Let's keep going. Is that all right if I just veered off my notes? I apologize. Verse 18 says, Paul's still talking. And again, I want you to see the heart of God, the heart of the pastors, the heart of the leader coming out. He says in verse 18, he says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which you have been called, not the hope that may occur. He says the hope that you have been called. I looked at the word called. It meant invited. And then it meant call. Hey, hello, Thomas. Hey. So God has already called you. It may not occur. It's not an option. It's not shall it occur. It may not. No. It says that God's already called you. And Paul's like, man, I'm praying that God will open up your eyes and your heart so much that you know that God has positioned you and strategically designed you to do something amazing. Let's keep going. He says, so I want you to know the hope that you've been called to. He says, and then I want you to know the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people and his incomparable great power for those who believe. It's the same power as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in this present age, but in the one to come. And God placed all things under Jesus' feet and appointed him to be the head over everything for the church. Everybody say church, which is his body, the fullness who fills everything in him. Watch this now, and then I'm going to break it down. Paul says, listen, the power that God's given you, he's given you the riches of his inheritance, and then he's got this exceedingly, you can't compare great power. He says, for those that believe, and he says, now the power that's available to you is the power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead himself. That power is available to you. And he says, now it's available in the fullness of who he is for those who believe in the church. And then I love this. He says, now Christ is the head, you are the body, and you complete him. Look at the person beside you and say, you complete me. Little Jerry Maguire. Sorry, Jerry Maguire. You had me at hello is what God's really saying. You had me at hello. I love it. He says, Jesus is the ultimate authority. But in order for him to be complete, he needs you. How amazing is that? He's already himself. He knows who he is. But he says, I can't do anything on earth without you. Y'all are just looking at me. Here's, if I could break down this verse, this verse, and we're going to get you guys out of here. Paul is writing a letter to the people of Ephesus. He's writing a letter to them because he's pouring out his heart to them because he wants them to know that God is for them. In past series, we said that God's heart is focused on four things. Okay, and you can write these down. God wants lost people saved. He doesn't want anyone disconnected. He wants you saved. He wants you in relationship with God. Once you get in relationship with God, he wants you pastored. He wants you under the covering of leaders and in a church environment where you can be spoken life into. But you can also hear messages that make you go, ooh, that's nudging me to change. Ouch. He wants you to be pastored. So he wants you saved. He wants you pastored. And then as you're being pastored, he wants to equip you. There are gifts and talents that he wants to pour into you, that he wants you to know that, whoa, the reason why I'm passionate about the community is because he's given me a heart for lost people, or he's given me a heart for people that need more. I don't know what you're passionate about. I don't really know. But God drops that in you, and inside of a life-giving environment, hey, that's what God's called you to do. Sometimes you need people to cheer you on when the thing that you want to chase seems cuckoo. Sometimes you need to be in an environment where God can do it versus why do you want to do it? And so God's heart is, I want lost people saved. I want saved people pastored. I want pastored people equipped. And then the final thing that's God's heart is he wants equipped people mobilized. He wants you out there working for him. Go. And as Paul is talking, Paul says, here's my heart. Let me break down my heart. Listen, God has given to you, available to you, hope. But I want you to understand that hope. I want God to make it so clear to you that it's available to you. And I wrote this down. I wrote that God's design for me is bigger than that. It's bigger than that. You know you're that. You know the thing that you're asking God for. You know the thing that you're struggling with. You know the thing that you might be coming up against, the obstacle, the discipline that you may or may not have. God's design, God's thought is bigger than that. It's bigger than that. I don't know what your that is, but it's bigger than that. When Paul is speaking to the people of Ephesus, he says, listen, my prayer for you is that your revelation of who God is, that you'll know him better. Then he says, I want the eyes of your heart to be enlightened so that you can know the hope to which he's already called you. Hello? Hello? Can you pick up? Hello? He's already invited you into something that's bigger than that. So wherever you're dreaming right now, it's bigger than that. The obstacle that you're facing, it's bigger than that. Paul says, I want you to be able to see God's perspective on everything that you would face, everything that you would dream about. So if you're dreaming about owning a business, God's thoughts towards you is bigger than that. Yeah. Yeah. Y'all okay? Yeah. So wherever you are thinking, it is your basement level. Because God is thinking bigger than that. Let me prove it to you. Here's what the word hope means. Expectation, the thing hoped for. Watch now. It means the author of hope and the one who is its foundation. So when Paul says this, he says, listen, I want you to know the hope to which God has called you. Paul says, he says, now listen, it's bigger than that. It's not just having the expectation. It's not just hoping for the thing that you want. It's actually making the author of hope your foundation. Y'all okay? Paul says, the thing that you are believing for, it's bigger than that. He says, your expectation, you need that. I'm praying that God will reveal that to you. He says, the thing that you want, you should hope for. But then he says, wrapped up in the hope that I'm hoping God will reveal to you that he's already called you to, is that you will know the author of the expectation and that he will become your foundation. So what Paul is saying is I hope and I pray that God will become your foundation. So it's bigger than that. It's bigger than just the obstacle. It's bigger than just the dream. It's bigger than that. Paul says, I want you to know God in a better way, so much so that he is your foundation in every bit of your expectation and everything that you hope for. He says, it's the hope that you have been called. 1 Peter 2, 9 says this. It says, but you are not like that. For you have been chosen by God himself. You are priests of the king. You are holy and pure. You are God's very own. All this so that you may know, so that you may show to others how God called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. The Message Bible says this. But you are the ones chosen by God. Chosen for the high calling of priestly work. Chosen to be a holy people. You're God's instruments to do his work. Speak out for him. To tell others of the night and day difference he made for you. From nothing to something. From rejected to accepted. The foundation. The hope for which he's called you to. Paul says, if God becomes your foundation, then you will realize that he chose you, that you are priestly when he looks at you, that you are his amazing design, that you are his instrument to speak on his behalf, to tell people of the difference from when you were away from him to now you're in him. It's light and day, Paul says. I was once rejected, but now I have been accepted. He says that is the foundation of your hope. He says, you, if you can get an understanding that you are so priceless to God, that you have been chosen, that he picked you. He chose you. Paul said, man, if you can make this the foundation of that, you'll know him better. I wrote this down. It's bigger than that, but it's better than you thought. It's bigger than that. I don't know what your that is. I don't know. But it's better than you thought. So if we're going through a sickness, a financial struggle, it's bigger than that. Because he wants your hope to come alive and say, I need to make Jesus my foundation. Because if I can realize that I've been chosen and that he will move me from this struggle to accept it, it will be light and day from where I started to where I end up. It's clear. If I can make him my foundation of expectation and the thing I hope for, it's going to be better. But then he says that you have to know, watch, you have to know the riches of his glorious inheritance in his people. It's the riches of his glorious inheritance in his people. I just read it to you, 1 Peter 2:9. For you are a chosen people, a holy nation, people set apart by God to show forth the praises of him, to speak on his behalf, to tell people that there is a night and day difference when God's involved, when he's not involved. From being rejected to accepted, there's a clear difference. Paul says that. But then Paul goes on to say, he says this, he says, look, you also have the riches of his glorious inheritance to you. Do you know that? How many of us really know that God has so much laid aside for us? I'm proof, but again, watch. This is what the word riches mean. Abundance, watch now, abundance of external possessions. How many of y'all need God to give you something tangible? Raise your hand. You need something tangible. I need a new job. I need healing in my body. The Bible clearly says, watch now, the first thing was, let's make him my foundation of expectation. Let's make him the focal point of the things I desire. But then it goes on and says, the riches of his inheritance, not what you and I may be chasing after. But I love the fact that when you look up the word in the biblical context, it says this. It says that it is the abundance of the external possessions. I've got desires. I've got dreams. I love the fact that God just doesn't deal in spiritual things. I love the fact that he doesn't just say, hey, you just serve me. Hallelujah. It's for my glory, yes. But I love the fact that when he talks about riches, he deals with the things that he knows I'm going to ask him for anyway. He deals with the things that he knows that I'm going to be thinking about, stressing out about. He says, listen, he says that it is the abundance of external possessions. But I love this, that it's also the fullness. He says, you're not going to be empty. There's not going to be a void in your life. You'll have plenty. So many times, you and I can live in our insecurity. And God says, I've got my riches set aside for you. I've got my fullness set aside for you. It's plenty. It's more than enough. Paul says, hey, my prayer is that you will know him better and that the eyes of your heart will come alive and you'll know that he's for you. You'll know his hope that he should be your foundation of your expectation and the things you hope for. That's what he's called you to. Peter says, you are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, chosen by God to show forth how amazing he is, to tell people that you were once rejected, now you accept it. It's a light and day difference from when I didn't trust him to now I do. Then he goes on to say, it's the riches of his glorious inheritance that gives you the external possessions that you and I desire, but it also gives you the fullness of who he is. Inheritance just means the possession that he gives you. See, if you and I sometimes think that God doesn't want us to have it, if we could make him our foundation, maybe we won't ask that question. If we know him as our hope. Here's the final one. So if it's bigger than that, if it's better than what I thought, then it has to be greater than I can imagine. Paul, I love the fact that Paul tells him that he says that, listen, there's a hope that you got to go for. There's a riches, an inheritance that God has for you. I want you to know this. But then he says that there's also an incomparable great power available to you, to those who believe. I love the fact that Paul gives the foundation. Watch, I love this. He starts off, he says, now the hope that you need, it's bigger. Bigger than that. Then he says, the riches of his glorious inheritance, it's better than what you thought. So just the hope was good. The hope of what he called you to is good. But if you take this thing up another level, it's better than you thought. So Paul says, watch, I wish I had like a board. I'm moving my hand as if I had a board. I don't, can y'all see it? I'm like, but obviously there's nothing because it's invisible. So look, Paul says, the bigger, if you just got the bigger is better than that. And then he says, now, if by some chance you don't want to just stay at the bigger, he says that there is actually a better than you thought about the hope of him being your foundation. So if you thought that just him being your foundation as hope or expectation or the thing that you're praying for, Paul says, now listen, it's bigger than that. But he says, you go up another notch to his riches and it's better than you thought. You thought his hope was good. You thought his hope was amazing. You thought him being your foundation was off the chain. Oh, when you get tapped into the fact that he's got stuff for you and he wants to complete you, he says, it's better than you thought. But he doesn't stop there. He says, now, after you get to bigger, better, he says, oh, wait, he's got an incomparable great power. If you believe that it's better than you thought, bigger than that. He says, when you climb the ladder, it is greater than you can imagine. He says, the power that's available to you that I just pray, as I'm praying for you every day and I'm thanking God for you, he says, man, if your eyes of your heart will come alive and you will know him better, he says that there is a power in addition to the hope and the riches and the inheritance. He says, now there's a power that's available to you that is greater than you imagine. He says, now watch, he could have made the bigger the stopping point. Like he could have been like, hey, I just want y'all to know the hope. Amen. Let's go to the next verse. But he squeezes all this information to let them know that there are levels by which you're going to go and City Place Church is going to go. He says that the bigger is better than that. It's better. So if I go from bigger than that to better than I thought, he says, when you get to the greater than you can imagine, the power that's available to you is the same power that Jesus had that took him out of the grave. I don't know about you. That's stupid power. Here's the example that came to my mind. If your car battery is dead, I don't go out there with my hands. I go grab a source that'll get my battery jumping again. I go get the battery charger because the battery charger is the source of the power. Are you with me? I might use your car, but the battery that you have that has life will get battery to mine. I have to go to the source to get the ultimate power. He says this. He says, the power that's available to you is the power, watch now, watch, that is greater than the better that you can settle at and the bigger that is your foundation. So many times you and I, and even as a pastor at City Place Church, we can get comfortable with just a few people in our church and say, I love the small field. See that? And God is like, I'm just using that as the foundation. Y'all with me? I'm using that as the foundation for what I want to do. I am bringing up your level of expectation. Every week you hear them say, building dreams, not in a savage leader, we're in the loss of the kingdom. I am blowing you up to go, I think God wants to do that for me. Yeah.
you know what? Maybe God does want my dreams to come alive. So that is the bigger foundation of City Place Church. So what you see today will not be what it will be at the end of the year. Now, you and I can take the mantra of, hey, I'm kind of comfortable. I'm kind of comfortable as they're growing. But that is not God's design for you or for the church. So since you're in the church, if all of us said the bigger is the foundation and it's bigger than that, I look at you and I'm happy that you're here and I'm happy that 65 plus people got saved last year, but I go, there's still like 2 million more in Central Florida. So it's got to be bigger than that. What does better look like? What's better than 65 plus? What's better than just minimum wage? What's better than just having to take the medicine to sustain? What's better than just having an okay marriage? What's better? Y'all are just letting me preach. I'm sweating up here like it's hot, because it is. Like I got all the lights on me. You know what I'm saying? Don't hug me at the end. No lie. It'll be like, wring out my shirt for me, please. Don't, no. Better. Look. So the foundational level for all of us is bigger. Bigger is a great place to start for our faith if you feel like your faith is empty. You ain't got to jump to greater yet. Paul says, hey, let's get the hope down. So we've got hope, bigger, better, greater than you can imagine. Watch, I'm going to show this, and then I'm almost done. I promise you. Watch this. I love this. This is so good. Look, I love that. This is what incomparable means. When he says, what's available to you is incomparable great power. Incomparable means exceeding. It's bigger than you thought. I love that it goes back to the original. He says, hey, if you get the hope that you get, look, it's bigger than you thought. I love the fact that incomparable means that it's blowing your mind. The power that's available to you will blow your natural mind. It will make you say, wow, I don't know. How amazing would it be if you prayed for something and instead of God just meeting it, he exceeded your expectation? What if we prayed for the sickness and instead of him just making you feel better for the week, he dealt with the cause? What if we didn't just pray, Lord, let my credit just pass so that I can get the house? What if he actually helped you create a plan to make it better for the long term, for your family, for your generations? What if he had you believe that you could retire and not have to work past 70? Just saying. I know it's just practical. I mean, he said that inside of the riches that was available to him that he'd give us the external stuff, so I might as well talk about it. We think about it, right? I'm just saying that's what incomparable means. It means to surpass beyond anything. Hey, y'all, the power that I'm talking about is bigger than what? Than that. It's better than you thought. The power that we're talking about is greater than you can imagine. And he says that it's exceeding, it surpasses. Watch, this is what the power means. It's already up there. I was making it seem like y'all didn't see that. It's up there. Watch this. This got me fired up. Power meant this. Power of miracles, moral power. That means the conviction when we feel like we're struggling with something and it keeps pulling us away. Moral power, rest in the power that's available to you. The power for miracles. God, do you still do miracles? Absolutely, it's available to you. Excellence of soul, power and influence, which belongs to riches and wealth. God wants to give you the power and influence to be able to use your income and steward it wisely. I love this. The power that exists that's available to us is the power that is posted, consisting in and resting on armed forces. Watch this. The power that's available to you is the same power that the military has when it's time to go to task. The training,
the preparation, the execution, whatever the assignment is, whether it's to take over, whether it's to take out, all of that is just sitting here waiting. It says that it's posted, resting, waiting to be released. So can I tell you that the miracle working power, the moral power, the influence, the excellence of the soul is all sitting here waiting for you to go, let's go. So sometimes saying, God, help me with this. God, I'm struggling with this. The power that's available to you is going, hey, just let me know when you're ready. Just let me know when you're ready. The discipline, let me know when you're ready. The ability to give, let me know when you're ready to step out and tithe. When you're ready, let me know when you're ready, because I'll give you the power. It says that just power is just sitting there waiting for you to say, hit the red button. Go. Paul says all of that is available to you. Worship team, you can come back. It says this. It says it's bigger than that, better than you thought, greater than you can imagine. Ephesians chapter 3 says this, and I'm actually done. 3, this is again, this is Paul. I want you to be able to see like his heart again for the people. Watch how he starts off in verse 14. He says this, Ephesians 3:14. He says, for this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you. Here goes the pastor's heart again. He's praying for them again. Chapter 1, he's like, God, I just pray for them. And then he tells me, he says, man, I'm praying that the eyes of your heart be open and that you'll know the hope and you know the riches of his inheritance and the incomparable great power that he has for you who believes. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is available to you and the church. He says this in chapter 3, and he's talking again from his heart. He says, I'm praying that God would grant you, according to the riches, boom, there it is again, of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted this time and grounded in his love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, the height, to know the love of God which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now watch this part here. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly bigger, abundantly better, above, greater, all that you ask or think. Oh, wait a second. Let me make sure I'm reading this right. According to the, let me read this one more time here. Paul says, now to him who is able to do bigger, better, greater than you can ask or think, according to the power. Okay, I'm going to read it again, and then I'm going to let y'all know why I'm emphasizing this, so that you don't just be like, okay, what is he trying to do? To him who is able to do bigger, better, greater than we ask or think, according to the power, the incomparable power, I'm possessing miracles, I'm possessing the excellence, I'm possessing the soul, I'm possessing the influence. He says, now the power that is able to do bigger, better, and greater, watch what he says, it rests in you. To him be glory to the church. Notice in the first verse, first chapter of Ephesians, Paul goes through everything. He's talking to them, and then he goes, for the church. And then he goes over to Ephesians chapter 3, and he says, for the church. The church is not the building. The church is the assembly of people. That's what God created it to be. That's the reason why you can dream, you can dream, you can dream. But he says, now at the end of the day, when God does something big, you can't just put it in your own trophy case. You can use that to grow my church. Remember, I told you that this message is going to have two lenses. It's your lens, but it's also what God can do in City Place Church. So he says the power is already in you. Why? And I'm wrapping up with this. You can play something really nice. Look, it says this. Look, he says that it's in you. This is, let me say, two chapters later. He started off by saying, man, I hope that God comes alive in you, that you get an understanding of who he is, so you can know the hope that he's called you to, because the God that you serve, he's got hope, which is bigger. He's got riches and inheritance, which is better. And then he's got incomparable great power, which is greater than you can ever imagine. When he gets to chapter 3, he says, now the God that hopefully we've improved since I last talked to you, he says, this is in you. Because remember, the hope was the thing that he invited you to. He says, the power that you've gone from level to level, the power that works on the inside of you will do bigger, better, greater. So can I declare over you that the God that called you is exponential? He doesn't just say at one level. The God that you serve is exponential. This is our kickoff to our new series called Exponential. And this is our focus for the year. We'll break it down. Our focus for the year is that God wants to do in us as a church bigger, better, and greater things. The amazing thing is that he's going to do it in you. And I'm going to challenge us every single week to not just dream outside of City Place Church, but to dream together. Because there's something you can do, something you can do, something God's called you, something I can encourage you on, something that I can pray for you, something. And if we all got in this thing together, we can see our city changed. But this morning, I wanted to just give you two lenses. I wanted to speak life to you that God's got bigger for you, God's got better for you, he's got greater for you. But I'm praying that, man, my wife and I will have an opportunity to be like Paul and say, oh, I can't wait. Let me tell you about how amazing God is. And let me tell you all the stuff he wants to do for you. And at the foundational level, he just wants to build your hope. And the next level, he wants to show you his power through tangible things, through things that you can use to advance his kingdom. And then at the end of the day, you've got a power in Jesus Christ. That if it's
That's all for this week's podcast edition. Join us online at cityplacechurch.com for more resources, upcoming events, or to submit a prayer request. Or, if you are in the Central Florida area, join us on Sunday morning for a life-giving service that builds dreams, ignites faith, and establishes leaders for the kingdom of Christ.